Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're going to Vietnam with Tom Cargill. He's professor of economics at UNR. For the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Wall Street makes investments. It's what they do. And when big banks invest in a politician like Joe Heck, the investment pays off. Big time. They've invested over $300,000 in him. And Heck has sponsored $44 million in tax breaks for banks. Like most Washington Republicans, he supported privatizing Social Security, making Wall Street billions in fees, risking our retirement in the stock market. Congressman Joe Heck. Big banks before Nevada families. Senate Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Professor Tom Cargill. He's a professor of economics at UNR. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Glad to be here.
And people always say to me before interviews, they say, you know, can you give me a list of questions? And I always say, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about until, you know, the plan comes. And then a guest will sit down and I'll say, where have you been lately? And they tell me, and suddenly there's my first question. So I asked you, where have you been lately? You said Vietnam. What were you doing in Vietnam?
I was teaching at the University of Hawaii. Executive MBA program in Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City. This is the fourth time I've done it. So I was there for about 12 or 13 days.
Tell us what it was like to be in Vietnam.
Well, at different levels. It's certainly not worth the money going. I mean, they do pay me. But it's a very, very long trip. And it took me 2 days to get back. So, but why do I do it? Well, one, I'm a teacher. But more than just teaching, this is a pretty impressive group of students. They are entrepreneurs. Some of them may change the history of that country.
In what way?
They are going to end up playing key roles in the economy, in businesses, in finance, and in manufacturing, in export and import industries. And even some of them may go into government. Because, you know, they still do have an authoritarian communist government there. So it's quite rewarding to be able to add some value to those students' lives. At least I think there's some positive value. And they're equally divided between men and females. Very, very enthusiastic. I think a second reason is because the United States and Vietnam, of course, have an unfortunate history. Maybe this is my sort of way of trying to rectify that and to establish better relationships between the United States and Vietnam. My students tell me, actually, of all the visitors to Vietnam, the young people like the Americans the most. And they were very impressed with President Obama's visit. It's a country on the move. It is sort of incredible. I mean, there's still a lot of poverty there, but compared to what it was 20 years ago, it's almost an economic miracle. As I say, the first time I went there was 2011. I can see changes in Saigon already. The Japanese are building a subway system.
Really?
I'm seeing high-rise buildings going up. Upscale apartment living, condo living. I visited a Porsche dealership in Saigon. I mean, this is sort of incomprehensible to think that just 40 years ago, within just a few miles of this place, are the Kuchi tunnels, where tremendous number of people were killed, where you can still see the bomb craters, and they still have the tunnels.
Can you make a comparison between any other countries in Asia that are comparable to Vietnam? I mean, do you look at it and go, this was Japan 40 years ago?
Well, you know, there is a tendency to say Asia, the Orient, and try to... But that implies a great deal more homogeneity than in fact exists. Because
fact,
there is
the exact
quite a
opposite,
bit of heterogeneity
really.
There in terms of culture, attitudes, openness. There are some elements with Japan, but except Japan was a defeated country. Their whole worldview was challenged, and they lost. And so they had to sort of reconstruct their culture, reconstruct their view of the world, reconstruct their economy, and they've done a pretty good job. The last couple of decades, they've run into some serious problems, as has many countries. Vietnam is much, much different. I mean, it's the same in the sense it started as a devastated country, because even though the North Vietnamese won, they won at the loss of tremendous life. I mean, both South and North Vietnamese, 3-4 million people killed. Infrastructure devastated by American bombing and war with when the North invaded the South. So they started probably a little bit better level than Japan did in 1945. But the similarity, so that's one similarity. Another is a tremendous work ethic. A third is a tremendous sense of nationalism and pride in their country. Whereas Japan had to sort of establish a new worldview because their previous worldview that they were top dog was not consistent with reality. The Vietnamese, in a sense, they won. They beat the world's most powerful military ever in history. Now, of course, we fought with one arm behind us, maybe even two arms behind us. If we had used the kind of military might that we did in World War II, it would have been a pushover. But of course, it could have generated a much wider conflict with the Chinese and the Russians. But they have that work, that nationalism. But even there, their worldview had to change because they were intensely communist, intensely influenced by the Soviet Union, and immediately set up a central planning system in 1975 that collapsed in a decade and could meet virtually none of the promises. It generated huge amount of economic and financial distress. And in the late 80s, some reformers in Hanoi decided, listen, I think maybe we need to open up, reestablish a relationship with America, because they're very, very suspicious of the Chinese. They don't like the Chinese, and with good reason.
Right.
With good reason. I mean, you know, there are cases where Chinese go in and abduct young Vietnamese girls because in China they've got a male-female sex ratio that is out of balance.
Right.
There's
because
not enough females to go around in China.
Because of the one-child policy
that
they have
and
for so many
years. And plus, you know, in 1997, Vietnam and China went to war with each other, and the Vietnamese beat the Chinese despite, you know, they're close to a superpower. So I think they, in the late 80s, wanted to establish relationship, and bit by bit by bit. And you can see signs of it. For example, I visited the Kuchi Tunnels, and they asked us to watch a movie, and a movie glorified the American hero killers. But they told us beforehand that it's just propaganda. You have to understand that. People don't believe that anymore. And I thought that was interesting. Another thing is there is a war memorial in Saigon, very close to the presidential palace, actually just a few blocks from the hotel. When I visited in 2011, it was a memorial of war atrocities or war sins. Now it's just a memorial of remembrance. So they're backing off.
And just briefly, can you compare them in terms of being a communist government with the communist government in Chinese, in the sense that they have changed from a pure form of communism to now wanting to be a part of the free market?
Well, this is a great contradiction. Classical economics, 19th century liberal economics, always stress that you cannot have economic freedom without political freedom. You cannot have political freedom without economic freedom. And history, I think, supports that in general. The Chinese seem to be bucking that trend because they have a strong authoritarian government. They kill people there. I mean, Tiananmen Square, nobody still knows how many young people were killed with Chinese tanks and Chinese military. And even today, they're suppressing freedom of speech. They're coming down very hard. I mean, they're even instructing their economic forecasters that it might be an act against the state to give a pessimistic forecast.
And the stock market is totally
and the stock market, of course. But it was all a house of cards. I mean, this idea that China is going to end up eating everybody's lunch is simply without foundation when you really take a close look at how those economies
as what it was with Japan.
With Japan, exactly, and I've written extensively about Japan, and it was a house of cards. It was an accident waiting to happen, and it still hasn't recovered. It's in its third lost decade.
Unbelievable. Listen, we got to take a break. We got to make some money here. Otherwise, economically, we will be out of business. We'll be right back with Tom Cargill after this.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Professor of Economics at UNR, Tom Cargill. Let's talk about Brexit. It doesn't really affect the United States, but in another way, it really is. I mean, look at what's happened in the stock market.
Well, stock market dived and then came back. It's because it's not a big deal. It's a big deal to the Europeans but there's something here that is really, really important. And it reflects what's going on here in the United States. This, you know, we've got the Democrats and the Republicans going at each other, but it's really beyond political parties. It's almost like the gunfight at the OK Corral. I think somebody in the Wall Street Journal mentioned that. The Earps and the Clantons. And I mean, it's a street fight, and there's going to be blood. And I think that we've had 30, 40 years of liberalism run by elites who simply have the attitude that they're smarter than everybody else. They know how to manage the economy, and they simply ignore the impact on sort of the average person. Now, you know, many people tried to characterize Trump supporters as sort of uneducated, uninformed, white, angry males. And I think that's grossly inaccurate. And people who make that observation do not understand the forces at work here. So what happened in Europe is that people just finally getting tired of being directed by a central authority that doesn't take their concerns into account. And nobody really, this is not an argument against free trade, globalization. It's an argument against, we don't mind participating in a world economy and opening up our markets, but we have our traditions and our culture and our history, and we're not going to sacrifice that. And you're not paying enough attention to unfettered immigration and what it does. You're not paying enough attention to the fact that when we do open up our markets, it does adversely impact established employment and occupations.
All right, but
and you're not paying enough attention to re-education programs to help people adjust to this rather dramatic change in the structure of how we live.
Right, but, you know, on the other side of the coin there, you know, if you just take the United States, every group that has come here from the 1900s, probably the late 1800s on, were put in the barrel. It was their turn in the barrel, whether it was the Jews or the Irish or the Polish or the Italians. Every group that came was not wanted, and, you know, after a period of time, things changed and they became part of the fabric of society. Even in more recent years, you were talking about Vietnam. The Vietnamese that came to this country were not particularly wanted. But that became the fabric of America, that we absorbed each different group that came in and we gave them the best of what we have and we got from them the best of what they have. Aren't we really just seeing that on a global scale now?
Well, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Historically, you're absolutely right. We didn't like the Irish. We didn't like the Italians. I'm Italian. We didn't like the Chinese. We didn't like the Japanese. All you have to do is look at our just down the road in Highway 395 at Manzanar, the internment camp. But there is a difference with past immigration. And a lot of that was a desire to come here, participate in what was loosely the American dream of opportunity, limited government, sort of pursue, you have the right to pursue your happiness.
A better life.
A better life, but you have to buy in to the value system.
I don't think that that's true. I think that the better life was the motive, and then everything else falls into place as you go along, because the first generation is not necessarily going to speak the language. You know, you know, my family was Russian, Polish, Dutch, and my mother tells stories of, you know, the, I guess, 1920s, 1930s, of relatives that only spoke Dutch or only spoke Polish, and they communicated almost by sign language. But it was the following generations, the children, the grandchildren, that spoke English that became fully part of the system.
Yep.
Isn't that how that works?
Well, I'm not claiming that there was some official policy. This is what happened. But there, it sort of was an automatic mechanism. There was a desire to simulate. And yes, there were groups that never learned English, but the desire was that their children would learn English,
right,
that their children would participate. I mean, there's a famous line in The Godfather, or in the book, it's not in the movie, where he says that Michael Corleone was disappointed that his wife was going to have the children baptized in the Catholic Church because he wanted them to be Protestants, which was more American.
Right.
Okay. There is concern by some people that the more recent immigration, a significant part of it is illegal, And that's troubling. This is supposed to be a country that has a, that we have clear and transparent rules. And we have a very large number of people here who have violated those rules. And in a sense, the certain political forces want to put them ahead of the line. Then you have other groups coming in that really fundamentally want to change what we think is important in America in terms of how women are treated, how gays are treated. I mean, we do have groups coming in that their worldview is dramatically different. And there may not be a desire to assimilate, a desire to change. And I think that's what's upsetting a lot of people. And I think that's what Trump is probably tapped into. But I'm not even sure he's in charge of it anymore. I think there are forces at work here. And as I, to my earlier comment, we've been through 40 years of elitist liberals running the show. And they really don't have a lot of good to show for it. And I'll take you to the most revealing character of this.
Let's do it after we take a commercial break.
We'll do it.
We'll pick right up there. We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
The real estate market is on fire. If you want top dollar for your home, it's a great time to sell. With Marshall Realty's 90-day guarantee, you'll feel confident in selling your home right now. Call today to find out how you can take advantage of this hot market. Do you want guaranteed results when selling your home? If you do, then you need an agent that will put his own money on the line. Marshall Realty does exactly that with their 90-day guarantee program. Call 787-7400 today to get your home sold guaranteed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue with Tom Cargill, professor of economics at UNR. Your shot here.
The event that happened maybe a year ago really signifies what this elitist group thinks. It was Gruber, a professor at MIT, who played a key role in designing Obamacare, and at the same time made himself quite wealthy by providing consulting services to the states that were running these kind of systems. He was caught on tape, video, at an economics conference saying that it was an important fact to get Obamacare passed to rely on the lack of understanding of the American public and their basic stupidity. Now, he had to apologize for that, but I can't imagine a clearer example of how these elites think. Not all of them, but a large number do. And I've spent my entire life in universities, in major government decision-making bodies, and I sort of had it up to my eyebrows in this, I know better. I know how to manage the economy. The height of arrogance that you think you can model a complex economy and fine-tune it. For example, the kind of stuff that Janet Yellen talks about. I listen to the testimony and I just shake my head. Now, she's a very competent monetary economist, but she really believes that all these equations and all these diagrams can be utilized to fine-tune the economy.
But in reality, and we've got 30 seconds here, aren't the two driving forces in the economy either confidence or fear?
Well, sure, waves of optimism and waves of pessimism are important drivers of economic activity. Markets are always collecting information on what different players will do, what the government will do, what the private sector will do, what will happen in Europe, so forth. But anyway, you know, back to your question about the European situation.
Quick answer, please. Very quick answer.
Okay. I think that the European Union's finished. It will take maybe a decade, but it is finished. I'm not sure what will replace it. There is great risk, but there's also hope.
There's always hope, my friend. And there's always clever people that come up with a way in times of good or bad to make money. We will be right back. Thank you so much.
Always.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
You wouldn't go to Carson City Florist for a cup of flour.
Can I have some flour?
So why on earth would you take gold, silver, or rare coins to anyone other than the professionals at Northern Nevada Coin? With stores in Reno, Carson City, and Minden, they pay the most for your unwanted gold jewelry, gold or silver bullion, or collection of rare coins. For the freshest flowers, see Carson City Florist. And for all your rare coin and gold needs, see Northern Nevada Coin.
How'd your biscuits turn out? Thanks to you, now we have a bun in the oven.
Injured in the Carson City area? Hi, I'm Charlie Kilpatrick.
And I'm Angela Bolentini. You've seen a lot of ads for attorneys lately.
Before you contact a chain law firm, give our office a call. We provide high-quality, local representation.
Take the first step and call today.
Bassett is unique in regards to that customability. You got 1,000 different fabrics to pick from.
Very customizable. You can choose the back, you can choose the arm, you can choose the leg.
We couldn't be any happier.
3 days only at Bassett. Save 30% on one item and 25% store-wide.
Car trouble happens. It's inconvenient, costly, and sometimes even dangerous. Unless you've got this, a AAA card. Same size as a credit card, but it's actually a Get It card. Need a tow? Tire change? Battery? Get It. 24/7, all by AAA certified road service technicians. And a AAA card goes with you, no matter whose vehicle you're in. How much for all this peace of mind? Only $56 a year. Call now and get it.
Get this beverage container free. Visit AAA.com/get it or call 1-844-867-3731.
With a AAA card, you get 24/7 emergency roadside service for just $56 a year. And discounts on purchases that can save you more than $56 a year. At places like Century Theaters, Reebok Outlets, Lens Crafters, auto repairs at any AAA-approved facility, and more. All for a price our members think is worth every penny. Only $56 a year. Call now and get it.
Get this hot and cold beverage container free. Visit AAA.com/get it or call AAA now at 1-844-867-3731.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next broadcast.